Hello, everyone. I'm John Harris, and welcome to another exciting edition of the ConAgra Connection. Today is the official kickoff to this year's United for Change campaign. I'm joined by Robert Rizzo, Senior Director of Community Investment, to talk all about everything that's going on with this campaign, and it's a lot. So with that said, welcome Robert Joseph Rizzo.
John, it's great to see you. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we are very happy to have you, dear friend. Robert, ConAgra has a long-standing relationship with United Way and an equally strong partnership with the ACLU Foundation for this annual effort. What do we hope to accomplish this year with United for Change?
Well, United for Change is the only time we ever ask our colleagues to consider making a donation to impact issues of poverty, civil liberties, and human rights. We use this time to raise awareness and to inspire folks to support the work of incredible community-based organizations. United Way chapters across the U.S. support programs focused on education, health, job training, intentionally designed to address the root causes of poverty. The American Civil Liberties Union Foundation works tirelessly to protect civil rights and freedoms for all Americans. And for our colleagues internationally, Human Rights Watch defends human rights worldwide. Today, I have the pleasure to introduce two exceptional leaders in our community. Shauna Forsberg is president and CEO of the United Way of the Midlands and is based in Omaha, Nebraska. Shauna oversees a passionate team of leaders who ensure that local programs effectively help neighbors meet their most basic needs. This includes access to healthy food, physical and mental health services, and safe housing, with the goal of helping families achieve financial stability. Megan Hoffman is the Assistant Director of Strategic Partnerships at the American Civil Liberties Union Foundation and is based in New York City. Megan and her team work with companies to connect their employees to the work of the ACLU on topics that impact our freedoms, including women's rights, protecting the right to vote, disability rights, trans people's rights to live freely, and so much more.
That's terrific. Well, thank you, Robert and Shauna and Megan. It's great to see both of you again. And thanks so much for joining us today. Both of your organizations tackle systemic issues in our society, spanning poverty to civil rights. A good place to start is by having each of you provide a brief overview of your organization so that our employees have a better understanding of the broad scope of work your respective organizations do. So, Shauna, let's start with an overview on United Way's efforts to impact the root causes of poverty.
You know, it's an honor to be here with you and with a longstanding and vital partner with the ACLU. One thing that's important to understand is while United Way is one of the largest not-for-profits in the country, our organizations are embedded in the communities with local boards, staff, and volunteers. To ensure that we're looking at local challenges and identifying solutions. So everyone in the ConAgra footprint can be assured that there's people working in their communities on their behalf. Our United Way is based in Omaha and we'll be celebrating 100 years of service in 2023. So as I think about our history, so much of our work is about addressing needs as they evolve. In some ways, poverty looks very different than it did when we were in our infancy as our organization, with battling the Depression or during the World War era. In Omaha, for the last decade or more, we've had the highest levels of working poor in the country. So 7 out of 10 households in poverty include someone who works. So our approach to poverty has to reflect the challenges of working families struggling to make ends meet. And this means tackling emergency needs, but also the systemic challenges that continue to persist. Our board completed a strategic plan last year that focused UWM's efforts on addressing social and economic disparities. And we know that there are a variety of ways to impact systems change to do this. At UWM, we look at systems change by forging partnerships, informing policy leaders, and thinking about how resources flow. So when I talk about resource flow, I really mean that's how we invest in the community. We know that challenges faced by folks living in poverty are complex and interconnected, and one program can't do it all. So when we're investing in more than 160 programs here locally, and what that really means is investing in social service infrastructure for our community. So together with partners like ConAgra and donors from across our metro, we're creating a system of support that evolves with the changing needs of our community. And that system and those partners are embedded in the communities where the real work is happening.
That's terrific. Thank you. And thanks for all the work that you and your team do. It really is so, so important and much appreciated. All right, Megan, tell us a bit about the ACLU's efforts to protect our freedoms. I know there's a lot going on. And again, we're very grateful to you and ACLU as well.
Thank you so much, John. I'm really grateful to have the chance to be here with you and Robert and Shauna today in community with you all as ConAgra's employees embark on the United for Change campaign. So some of you may know the ACLU, some may not. For those of you who don't know the ACLU Foundation, ACLU stands for the American Civil Liberties Union. We just celebrated our centennial in 2020, so also just over 100 years old. And our mission is to work across the entire country to protect and advance the promises of the United States Constitution for every person in this country. And that means that we work on a really large number of civil liberties issues that I'm sure you've heard of. So things like voting rights and racial justice, LGBTQ plus rights, the freedom of speech and the freedom to protest. Our work also includes issues like reproductive freedom and gender equality and the freedom of expression, freedom from censorship, criminal justice reform, immigrants' rights, the rights of people with disabilities, and much more. So as John said, no shortage of work in these times. And the way that we do this work really breaks down into four ways. It's a huge waterfront of work, as we like to say. So we have to organize it pretty heavily. So it breaks down into four ways that we do our work. The first way that the ACLU does its work is really the way that we're most known for, we're most famous for. That's our litigation work. We're an organization of lawyers, so we file lawsuits on civil liberties issues. We take those issues to court, those cases to court, and hopefully we win. The second way we do our work is that we work with people at the grassroots level all across the country. We work to mobilize them to advocate for civil liberties in their own communities. The third way that we do our work is educating the public on what their civil liberties are, what those civil liberties, rights, and liberties look like in their daily lives, and what threats they're facing in the current day. And then the fourth and final, and I think strongest way that the ACLU does its work is it lies in our organization's structure. We work strategically at all levels of courts and governments throughout the country, which we can do because of the structure of the organization. We have not only the national headquarters of the ACLU, which is where my team sits, but we also have an incredible, incredible network of state affiliates in every state in the country and in DC and Puerto Rico. So wherever you're located in your state, there's an ACLU in your state working on the issues, specifically on the issues of your state. And it's really that structure that allows the ACLU to work, you know, not only from the federal level down, the congressional level down, but really importantly from the local level up. And that's how we're able to not only get so much work done, work on so many issues, but also keep an eye on emerging trends that we're seeing, you know, challenges to civil liberties, issues that folks are facing in their daily lives. So that's a really top line look at what the ACLU does and how we do that work. So I'll toss it back so we can continue the conversation.
Well, thank you so much, Megan. And again, thank you so much for all that you and the team at ACLU continue to do. I love hearing from the two of you. The work that both of you do is so inspiring, but also extremely challenging, as issues of poverty and social justice often have a disproportional impact on people of color. Both of your organizations approach your work in a very intentional manner and develop programs, services, and have a direct and meaningful impact on the lives of the people you serve. Can you highlight the top two initiatives that are particularly urgent at this time? Megan, let's start with you.
Sure. It is so heartening to hear that ConAgra employees have access to your great employee resource groups and communities. Those are so important. I'm going to actually name just one single most important initiative that the ACLU is focusing on right now, and it is the upcoming midterm elections, namely getting people out to vote, making sure people are registered to vote, know how to vote, and know what the issues are that are on their ballots. And then critically, talking to their friends and family, their loved ones, about doing the same. You know, midterm elections in this country are notoriously there's low turnout for midterm elections. They're notoriously overlooked by many, many people in the country. But this election this year is so important because there are so many issues on the ballot. We have reproductive freedom on the ballot, self-expression, freedom from censorship in public institutions are on the ballot. In some states, voting rights themselves are on the ballot for many, many people. LGBTQ rights, trans rights especially, are on the ballot in many states. So it's an incredibly, incredibly important time to make sure that you and your family, your loved ones, know how to vote, are registered to vote, know what's on your ballot, especially understanding those local down ballot positions that you're voting on, whether that's a district attorney, state senate, judicial positions, things like that, roles like that, that really have an incredible impact on people's civil liberties and civil rights in their day-to-day lives. It's just, it couldn't be a more important election. And so that's why the ACLU is investing so much right now to make sure folks get out there, vote their values, vote like your rights depend on it, because this year they really, really do.
Thank you. Shauna.
What I'd really like to talk about is mental health and housing. But before I do, I think we need to talk a little bit about the effects of inflation on our system. This isn't an initiative per se, but it's we're seeing it deeply impacting our nonprofit system and the clients we serve. Inflation has been higher than it's ever been, I guess, in the last four decades. But mostly it's affecting things like food and gas prices. And for families already on tight budgets, they don't have the means to cover these rising prices. It's the cost of these basics that are hit the hardest. And inflation is bringing more people to seek help. In fact, we had a pantry report that they had a 50% increase in clients. Our 211 call centers has had the highest number of calls we've had in our history over the last 2 months. And we know too that it's really affecting the cost structure for the agencies that we work with. The food bank is saying that the cost of food they purchase is up 30%. So the cost to purchase, store, and distribute food is increasing. And then this is true across all services, not just food. So this is where a strong social service infrastructure is really critical. Our economy is recovering. Recovery is what's triggering the inflation, but some of the persistent challenges that have reached really urgent levels are mental health and housing. What's been interesting about this is in both areas, we already have a strong program investment through United Way. But what we've seen and what's been called to do from our community is to increase our investments, but also have more skin in the game. So we have both mental health and housing and have really been called upon to do actually more direct service work in those areas to fill the gaps. Before COVID, there were multiple studies in Nebraska that showed that mental health access across our community was a top need, and the situation has become even more urgent. 1 in 3 Nebraskans have signs of chronic depression, and we're seeing younger and more severe cases. Emergency visits have actually increased by 30% since COVID for mental health issues. But at the same time, all income groups report access to mental health supports has even gotten more challenging. At United Way, we're actually putting some additional resources through some ARPA funding through the city of Omaha to support hiring new therapists. And we partner with organizations and the media to launch a mental health first aid awareness campaign. Our Women United group has partnered with Region 6 to increase the number of people taking mental health first aid training. And this training really helps equip people to support their friends and neighbors that may be going through a mental health crisis. Now, flipping to housing, we know that in our area, so the Omaha Council Bluffs Metro, we're about 80,000 units shy of the need for affordable housing. And we're seeing housing crisis in the community with the homeless population actually going up substantially. We know that keeping families in their home is really important for stability and housing security. And some of our shelters report about a third of their population is becoming chronically homeless. So once families are homeless, they face much more complex barriers to stability. So our team is really investing on homeless prevention. We're trying to get ahead of it. So that includes rent, utilities, mortgage, energy assistance, credit counseling, and eviction prevention. And through partnerships with Legal Aid, OPPD, MUD, our Good Fellows program at the Herald, and ARPA funds, we've been able to keep more than 5,000 families in their homes. And this minimizes the disruption for their kids in school, for work, and really the fabric of social connection in the community. So we direct dollars to these interventions because they've been proven to decrease homelessness and improve stability for families and students and reduce the stress on our shelter system. So I know that many of my colleagues would also add that the need for qualified workers is increasing. Learning loss in math, especially among youth, is a big challenge. Food insecurity, and you know, there's just a ton of things that we're looking at right now. But we also know that we're really fortunate to have the team at ConAgra working with us and alongside us to help really tackle these challenges. So we really appreciate the partnership, and we're incredibly grateful for those that are willing to share their treasure to try to impact these issues.
Well, thank you. And once again, thanks to both of you, because this is such important, impactful work. Robert, tell us, what are the next steps for our United for Change campaign, if you will?
Well, John, our campaign runs over the next 3 weeks, and we have set an ambitious goal of raising $480,000. During this time, I encourage everybody at ConAgra to think about the community where you live and to dream about something that you would like changed. Issues like poverty, job training, education, or protecting the rights of women and people of color. My hope is that everybody at ConAgra will be inspired to take action and donate, helping the United Way, ACLU, or Human Rights Watch to improve people's lives and change our world. Together, we can unite around diverse issues that are important to us all and provide essential support to change our communities for the better. So when you receive the United for Change email, please consider making a gift that is meaningful to you.
Thank you so much, Robert, Megan, and Shauna, for helping to kick off this year's campaign. I could not be more proud of the exceptional work that you and your colleagues do regularly to address the root causes of poverty and to protect our civil liberties. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Our United for Change campaign kicks off today and runs through November 4th. And again, it runs through November 4th. You're going to be hearing so much more about this as to how you can participate in the weeks to come. So stay tuned. So with that said, on behalf of Shauna, Megan, and Robert, I'm John Harris. Stay safe, give generously, and we'll see you soon.